Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Call strike three. The Dodgers win.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Earlier on the show,
ESPN MLB insider Jeff Passan.
Coming up,
Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen. Good Morning Football co-host Kyle Brandt. Green Bay Packers receiver Davante Adams. Plus, actor Carl Weathers. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Josh Allen of the Bills, Carl Weathers. That's hour three. We have a fun hour to get to before all that. Davante Adams of the Packers, and then our buddy Kyle Brandt. Always fun. He's kind of the intermezzo, right, of our week. He's the Rich Eisen Show intermezzo. He always appears right in the middle of our week, right on a Wednesday, and he cleanses the palate. It's a delight. It's delightful. And he's got to be in a good mood, because I was in a great mood the Sunday after game day morning was in person for the first time in a long time. Good Morning Football, all back at Stadium today.
Oh, sweet.
Mm-hmm. And that had to be great. Had to be a great feeling. And I'm sure they had to go through a lot of the old protocols to get in there in New York City. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll take your phone calls when we can here over the next couple of hours. But there's a lot on and cracking in the sports world going on, as we're keeping an eye on what's going on with Major League Baseball, and knocking on wood that negative tests keep rolling in for the Dodgers and obviously the Tampa Bay Rays, and anybody who's working in Major League Baseball who worked that game six last night, in which Justin Turner, one of our favorites, was pulled from the game in the eighth inning and then showed up on the field to celebrate. So keeping an eye on all that. But Chris Brockman, let's get right to it, because we got Davante Adams, we got Kyle Brandt, we've got everybody at home at 844-204-RICH. Let's get to Chris Brockman's news update right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
All right, Christopher, what do you have
over there? Okay, so just some NFL stuff. Let's hit the trade first. We know Carlos Dunlap, after the game on Sunday, recently said that his house was for sale. He was advertising on Twitter if anyone wanted to buy a place in Cincinnati. Well, he has been traded to a team that needs defensive line help, the Seattle Seahawks, for outside offensive lineman B.J. Finney and a seventh-round pick.
So you again, one of the comments that Chris Collinsworth said in many of his spot-on comments during Sunday Night Football is he pointed out the lack of a pass rush that the Seahawks are able to mount and how much of a problem that is. Well, they have a set of eyes, too, and they've got a great general manager in John Schneider, who just went and got Carlos Dunlap, who could not have sent up any more flares from Cincinnati to get him out. Because leading up to that Sunday loss to the Browns, he tweeted out the grease board on which, I guess, his line coach had placed the order of, I guess, their pass rush order in who's going in where and when and at what position. He tweeted out some information on a grease board. That'll get you out. Hopefully,
Get you out.
Hopefully, he coordinated with his real estate agent. now he needs to buy a place in Seattle or rent.
Mike Silver had a funny tweet 20 minutes ago. Great job by the Bengals at keeping their Dunlap issues low-key and not reducing his value before dealing him. Wait, the opposite of that.
Okay. Yeah. Mike Silver trying to get in more love and while Blocktober is still happening.
Still a few more days
still a few days of Blocktober out there in his Twitter feed.
Okay, so now that we talked about we love the social media thing, guys unfollowing and following player teams and players, teammates, and
trying to glean information.
Trying to get information. Also, we love getting information from the housing market, as we did with Carlos Dunlap over the weekend.
Oh, that's not the one you're talking about.
That is not the one I'm talking about.
Okay, what else you got?
We were talking about earlier this week how this team should be sellers at the trade deadline.
Patriots?
And it appears Patriots, reigning defensive player of the year, Stephon Gilmore, has put his house in the New England area up for sale.
Okay.
And the listing said he wants offers by Tuesday at 5 p.m.
Come on! Are you serious?
I'm serious.
So there's a trade deadline and a sell deadline.
There's a house deadline for Stephon Gilmore's crib.
Are you serious?
Bill Belichick was asked about trade rumors about for Stephon Gilmore, said, quote, I don't know anything.
Ooh.
Wow.
That's according to WEI.
Well, we are in century 21, are we not?
We are.
Okay.
So.
Oh, my God. He put in the notice, I'd like offers by 5 o'clock Tuesday?
I have no explanation for what happened.
Which is 1 hour after the deadline.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, Stephon Gilmore could net the Patriots what they really need.
Yeah, first-round picks.
I'm telling you, this Sunday's big, man. Dallas loses to Philly, you know.
Oof.
What, didn't the Cowboys essentially, according to all reports, told Don Terry Poe you're cut if you don't trade you?
I was getting
sorry,
to that.
What do you got?
That's okay. Yeah, the Cowboys have told Don Terry Poe and Daryl Worley they will be released if they can't be traded this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, does that undercut somebody's value, too?
A little bit.
Dallas and Philly. Dallas loses. Philly gets goes to 3-4-1. By the way, Doug Peterson is our first guest on tomorrow's show. Also on tomorrow's show, Eli Manning is going to call in.
Hey.
Specifically to talk about his perspective on the Tua elevation and promotion. Because we heard Kurt's perspective on Ryan Fitzpatrick's demotion. We're going to get the other side of that from Eli, who's kind enough to call in and talk Tua. But Patriots lose to the Bills. Our third hour guest, Josh Allen, could have a lot to do with that. Maybe you're looking for how many beds, how many baths?
Great question. I can look that up for later on.
That's all good. I'm just wondering.
Some Falcons news. Tom Pelissero saying they've had trade talks for Tack McKinley. So their Falcons might be
Raheem Morris says they are expecting Christian McCaffrey to appear tomorrow night.
I would expect that as well. Jaguars coach Doug Marrone said he plans to make big changes coming out of the Week 8 bye. Quote, I'm going to look at some things. I want to go a little outside of the box.
What does that mean?
I'm going to go after it, and however it falls, it falls. But it's open for me. I've done some crazy before. ESPN reporter Mike DiRocco speculated that Gardner Minshew benching is on the table.
Well, I mean, that's what happened the last time they had a bye week when he was telling us before his London game where the Jaguars get their you-know-whats handed to them by the Texans. And he said, you know, if Foles is healthy, we don't know yet. I'll think about it after the bye week. I'll think about it through the bye week, he said. And then as soon as they landed back on mainland United States, he named Foles the starter. We saw how that all worked out.
Who backs up Minshew anyway?
It is deep and not previously playable, I think. I saw the name the other day, and I really thought to myself, huh. You know, it's Mike Glennon. It's Glennon. Knock on wood if you're with me.
Jake Lutton.
I'll tell you this, man.
Who's from Oregon State.
If you want to tank for Trevor, Glennon is your man.
I wouldn't switch
Glennon is your man.
Let me tell you about Mike Glennon.
He's basically Nick Foles without the trophies.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That's what he is.
That's not bad.
Big old dude, big neck Mike Glennon.
Big arm.
McGlennon.
McGlennon, the original,
which is what,
thanks to Warren
which
Sapp.
What Warren Sapp nicknamed him McGlennon when Mick he Glennon. When
Ashed
he
his whole name
I
together.
Do believe when he started for the Bucks and he threw an outlet pass behind somebody and it was a fumble because he bounced it on the ground. Yeah. He was so angry and upset he called him McGlennon.
Just mash his name.
Oh yeah.
Vikings Mike Zimmer said Dalvin Cook's going to practice today, so he's on pace.
Good news for my son's fantasy team lineup. And for the Vikings.
Some college news. Rich, you mentioned top of the show. Just to reset here, Wisconsin has paused all team-related activities for at least 7 days. They are now up to 12 positive cases within their program.
Wow.
Their game against Nebraska this weekend, canceled, will not be rescheduled.
What a total, complete...
Six players, six staff disaster. Members, including their head coach, Paul Chris.
Get everybody healthy. My gosh. I mean, how contagious is this? Just the latest example. Latest example. You go into a game where you feel everybody doesn't have it. I mean, you've been weeks getting ready for the beginning of the season. Then all of a sudden this happens.
Yeah. No one on Illinois is yet tested positive. That's who they played last
week. Right, okay. That's good to know.
And some NBA stuff we mentioned at the end of last hour. Woj bomb. Looks like the Sixers and Daryl Morey are going to come together. He is going to be named president of this Philadelphia 76ers. Doc and Daryl Morey obviously have a strong relationship. And talk started here shortly after his Houston departure, escalated in recent days.
Here we go.
Wow. Elton Brand will stay on as general manager.
You got to be excited about this, TJ Jefferson.
Some smart people in the building.
They are that. I love it. We get Daryl to call in.
Can they get Embiid and Simmons to like each other?
Well, I don't know.
Who says they don't? I mean,
everybody.
You would think that you and Mike don't like each other just by watching you, and that is the case. You don't, but like you would just assume that.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Wait. Hold on. Time out.
We love each other.
Time out. They don't like each other.
No,
so let's just talk about it.
That's what I just said.
We're this far apart.
And secondly, maybe you should just dismantle your whole team for Giannis.
No.
Why?
We're not the Heat.
Why?
Because there's a difference between Tyler Herro and Joel Embiid.
No, but it clearly doesn't work, and you've kept on saying over and over and over again that everybody should blow their teams up because Giannis is who he is. Why not Philadelphia?
All right, fine. I'll trade Ben Simmons for Giannis.
Rich Eisen, mixing it up. Yeah. Mixing it up.
Stir that honestly.
Pot. Stir
in the kitchen.
I said the Miami Heat should stay put. You look at me like I've got three eyes. I'm going back at you. Here comes Doc. Mm-hmm. Here comes Daryl Morey. We're turning the page. This is a page turner. You have an opportunity to turn the page as opposed to run it back with just a fresh set of eyes.
Yeah.
Let's go.
All right, fine.
Can we think of two more teams? Who should blow it up for Giannis? Miami, Philadelphia, who else?
Let's pace ourselves because we have, as you pointed out, tonight is the first night where there is no live sports going on. Are there any live sports? Is there something going on?
Not in Hulu?
I don't know. We don't talk about that here.
Oh, my bad. Sorry.
But
yeah, there's nothing on the docket tonight.
You know what I mean? So
not true, guys.
These days are coming. What? What do you got?
Your buddy Cody Rhodes and Chris Jericho.
Oh, yeah. AEW wrestling tonight. Okay. Tonight.
I understand.
On TNT.
Well, I'm just saying there are going to be some times where we're just turning the page to the NBA as the draft is coming and all that. Where's some time? But I'm just pointing out to you what you think is proper medicine for the team that just made the NBA Finals is not as useful to the team that perennially disappoints.
I never said that.
I just said to you, what about Giannis? Want to blow it up? And you did he not summarily reject it?
He did, on its face?
Not really.
He thinks Embiid's better than Giannis. On down.
Do you really think that?
I think the pause is your answer.
Okay. All right. Let's take a break because Devontae Adams, we want to be on time for the wide receiver, the Green Bay Packers, who's taking on the Minnesota Vikings. They could pretty much hammer the Vikings season shut. Devontae Adams coming up next.
Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page.
And with large gallery view, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Our radio audience will join us in just a matter of seconds. Do we have a poll question over there, Chris? Have we come up with one at all today? I know we've been really all in on the World Series and everything, but figured I'd bounce this one off you right here.
I had a football one, and then we have kind of a pop culture one based on a birthday.
Okay, what's the football one?
Football one, which team currently on the outside looking in of the NFC playoff picture, best chance to get in? Saints, 49ers, Lions, Panthers?
All right, we're already halfway through the show, and we haven't really talked about it. So we
haven't talked any football yet today.
That tomorrow. What's the pop culture
it's,
one?
It's Joaquin Phoenix's birthday
all
today.
All right.
Best Joaquin.
You had me at hello there.
Best Joaquin performance.
Oh, boy.
Gladiator.
Thing is, we only have four. So this is what we got. Joker, he won the Oscar, obviously.
Yeah.
Gladiator, Her, amazing movie.
Yes.
Walk the Line.
Okay.
Where he became.
I like that one, and Kyle Brandt's going to be joining us to discuss that. That's later on in this second hour of the Rich Eisen Show here on a very busy Wednesday. We're back here on our radio network, rejoining us, one big happy simulcast family, live now here on NBC Sports on Peacock, live streaming every day between 12 and 3. We're thrilled to welcome here one of the most talented at his position in the game, and he's back here on the Rich Eisen Show, fresh off of a 13-catch 196-yard performance against the Houston Texans, getting set to take on the Minnesota Vikings and try and sweep the season series and potentially nail shut their 2020 hopes. We have Devontae Adams of the Packers back here on the show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How you doing, man?
I am doing better for talking to you. Do you know first throw from Aaron Rodgers in a day that, okay, this is going to be a day? Like the one that you had, do you get that sense right off the bat, Devontae?
Well, I think it's when we get off to the type of start that we did. That's what kind of lets me know. The first ball isn't usually an indicator, but mentality-wise, as soon as I get my hand on that ball, if it's early, I feel like this is the type of day we're going to have. You know, especially when you know what type of defense you're going up against, and you know what they like to do. So it's just about capitalizing on those opportunities. But, yeah, you get a couple of them early, you can definitely start getting your mindset on that.
Because I hear so many times watching a game and also talking to my guy Michael Irvin on the set, you got to get your star receiver in the mix right away. You got to get that guy right away. So there is some credence to that, you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Once you get, I feel like just mentality-wise, and, I mean, if you look at the numbers, I mean, I've never done it, but I feel like, you know, when you get a – you know, your number one going early and he's able to get his hands on the balls and be able to make some impact plays, I want to say that it has to be pretty good as far as, you know, at least the production by the offense, if not, you know, the entire team and you know, ultimately equating to win. So, you know, any time that I can put on for the team and do as much as I can with the ball, I think it'll put us in a good spot.
And let's be honest with each other, Devontae, and I'm not just saying this is because I don't want to call anybody out, say, on Houston. Maybe you didn't have that feeling this past week, but when you do catch your first ball, if not your second, on somebody that you know you've got him, that's happened before, right?
Yeah.
Right, the defender.
Oh, absolutely. Typically, when you know, at the start of a game, you know, just based off how they come out, confidence wise, how they decide to play me, I typically know how the matchup will go. But obviously, we know football is the most team game that there is. So at the end of the day, it's a lot of things that go into, you know, me being able to put up 200 yards, which is obviously.
We just lost him.
No, we just lost him. Go ahead.
He's back.
I got you there, Devontae.
There
he goes.
Now we lost him.
Is that us? Or was that a them thing, or was that a YP or an MP?
Don't know. That was weird. We lost him.
It sounded like
he hung up
his end. But let's we're getting back up.
16 targets, by the way. That was a 16-target situation. Sounded like a nice landline too. I thought, you know,
yeah, he was.
You get somebody on a cell phone,
strong.
And you're like, oh gosh. And they go in and out. Sounded
you never
good.
Know. He was definitely, yeah, it sounded.
Sounded good.
He clicked, though. When they click like that.
That was, say,
called
it,
in.
Say it again.
Remember when Jodie Foster called in, when she came in, I'm sorry, the studio. And
yes.
She told us Devontae Adams was her favorite football player. I wonder if he knows that.
I think she's a Packer fan, right?
Yeah, and she said that Devontae was her guy.
Okay. Let's take a phone call here while we're waiting for Devontae.
Yeah, we're going to
see if he'll call
back in a second.
Okay, here we go. Let's go to Alan, Atlanta. What's up, Al?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for taking my call. First time, short time, but not for years of FOMO, watching the Dan Patrick show and him always throwing it to you and never being able to find you over here on the East Coast. So happy you're on Peacock.
Me
too. So happy I could finally enjoy the show.
Thank you, sir.
After years of trying.
I appreciate that.
And I'm calling in because I agree with you on the analytics. It's ruining sports. like you brought up the 96 World Series. I want to throw it all the way back to the 91 World Series with John Smoltz again and Jack Morris going late into the game, nothing.
It'll never happen
again. We're never going to be able to see that
again. Al, we are never going to see that again, ever.
It's painful.
It's unfortunate, and Snell could have gone that long last night. There's no question in my mind he could have gone that long last night. There's no doubt in my mind. I agree with you. We will never, ever see that again. But I hope to have you get called back again. I appreciate the call. You got it. That's Alan Atlanta here on the Rich Eisen Show. Do we have Devontae Adams back again? We do.
Be back.
You there, Devontae?
Yes, sir.
Worst connection with you all week, right there.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Usually, you know, me and Aaron's connection is a lot stronger than that, so I don't know. I don't think it was me.
I don't know. I normally consider myself the Aaron Rodgers of hosting, and I'm not feeling as confident right now. I'll be very honest with you. But
we all have off days, though, so it's okay.
So you were saying at the time about knowing that you might have a defender right where you want him. I think you were
correct
in the middle of that answer, so I'll give you the floor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was just saying, just, you know, typically based off how a guy plays, you know, that combined with the mentality of the team and how they play defense, I typically know what type of day it's going to be. So at least for our matchup and, you know, what my film will look like. But like I was saying, when I believe we got cut off, football is the most team sport that there is. So obviously there's a bunch of different factors that go into me having a 200 yard game. But anytime we can do that and potentially, you know, give me some shots early, I feel like it's a recipe for success.
So what is it like? Because it's been last season and this season where you got hurt and watching. What is it like for you to watch? I know you were pushing to get back in. Getting back in, obviously, against Tampa, you got back in. But before that, you were trying to get back in with your injury, and the team was kind of holding you out, similar to what they did to Aaron Jones this past week. What is that like? What is that like?
I mean, it's painful, man, for a competitor, a guy who obviously is leaned on to make a lot of plays for this team. It's tough to sit back and watch, but honestly, it's been a little bit of a blessing in disguise just for the entire team, because I feel like it's allowed some other guys to get some opportunities that they may not have had if I was in there the whole time, and gave them some options just to show the coaching staff what they're about. And I think a lot of guys like Alan Lazard has stepped up in some of those moments. He's obviously injured right now, but last year, my absence, and this year, he was able to do some stuff in that Saints game, had a really big game. So gives some other guys some ops and allows me to kind of coach and you know, just lead with a little bit of wisdom and, you know, experience on the sideline.
Coach, walk me through Coach Adams. What does Coach Adams sound like? What's that like?
Man, well, it's not a lot of yelling, because these guys make it easy for me as a vet. You know, it's obviously this is the most distance as far as years that we've probably had in this room in a long time. So, you know, those guys go out there, they watch how I do it, and they watch you know, just how to go about their business in the right way. And I feel like that makes it, just based off how they practice, it makes it a million times easier for the game. So it's pretty easy. I just got to kind of throw my pointers in there off based off what I'm seeing. And, yeah, hopefully we don't have to do too much of that so I can coach while I'm playing, because that's a little bit more fun for me.
Devontae Adams, 3-time Pro Bowl wide receiver of the Green Bay Packers, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. And you are a perfect person to ask this question to. Because, as you know, the draft narrative was no help for Aaron. No help. As a matter of fact, they draft his potential successor. No help for Aaron at the wide receiver position in the deepest wide receiver draft we've seen for quite some time. How did that criticism land in the wide receiver room, Devontae?
Well, one, I'm gonna correct you. Just a quick correction. Mm-hmm. Best receiver class maybe since my class. I gotta throw that in.
My
there.
Bad. Let me write that down.
Thank
Let me write
you,
that down. Okay.
That.
Okay.
But I mean, it was, you know, it was obviously a little bit of a shocker to everybody. It was no surprise that just based off of, you know, some needs that we had, some guys that could potentially help us, or a position that we could potentially get some help and take us to that next level after being so close last year. You know, it was definitely a thought in everyone's mind that we do that. But just the way we do it, the Packer way, is just to buy in and trust it. So at the end of the day, I mean, you know, we trusted it. We love Jordan, and we've welcomed him, and he's done a great job since he's been here. So same with Aaron. He kind of took him in just how he has anybody else since he's been here. And, you know, you can see the evolution now with Jordan. He's even gotten that much better since he's been here. So as we continue to push, you know, whatever happens in the receiver room, you know, whatever happens, happens. But at the end of the day, everybody who's in there now is ready to play.
No, I'm not asking about the quarterback situation. I'm talking about how people thought the wide receiver room needed more help for Aaron Rodgers. That's what I was talking about.
People said that. People say that. But at the end of the day, I mean, you look at the numbers, you look at these games that we've had, and, you know, we've been able to take care of some business. Obviously, the more depth that you can have, the better off you'll be. But, you know, as long as we got the guys that we got, I'll go to battle with them any day. So, I'm not really too worried about the outside noise, but that's just kind of how we do it. Whoever's in there is got to step it up and fill those shoes.
Well, we had Aaron Rodgers on the show just a couple weeks ago, Devontae, and I asked him that very same question, and his response was filled with the history of grievances that every wide receiver could have had about their play that was incorrect. I mean, he literally went through the litany of Lazard in particular about his history of first being a tight end and then Jacksonville let him go and then he couldn't get on the field with Green Bay. I mean, he knew literally every aspect of his personal career path. And I'm wondering what that means for you and the rest of that room.
Well, I mean, just shows that how invested he is. I mean, a guy that caliber isn't typically expected to know certain things like that, especially as it pertains to things that were before stepping into this building. So just shows how invested he is into his guys, and even guys who the whole world may not know. He knows those specific details that I feel like, honestly, it ultimately ends up allowing you to have a closer connection on the field. So that's just the type of guy he is, and it also says a lot about Aaron as far as just his memory. I mean, because there's a lot of things that he brings up, and I see it on the field a lot, where he'll give me a signal of something that we haven't done since you know, camp of my second year here. So just his memory is pretty sharp there too. So I think it says a lot about both of those guys.
I got to pull on that string a little bit here. What do you mean? What do you mean he'll bring something up like that? Walk me through that a little more, Devontae.
Well, I mean, you know, just like a signal or something that he told me based off of a play that he saw week 7 in 2015, he'll you know, we'll go through walkthroughs right now, and he'll see that same look now, give me the signal, and see if I run it the proper way based off how he coached it years ago. And it's kind of like a little bit of a test, you know, to see exactly how sharp, I guess, the wideouts are as well. But on top of it, I think he's also starting to stretch out his mind a little bit, and that's kind of how he stays sharp by, you know, running himself through those exercises every now and then.
No kidding. So when you say a test, it's something that you know that he's kind of playing a three-dimensional game of chess, inspiring as well as making sure you're just as sharp, like literally in real time. No kidding.
It's also a little bit of a read because based off how he plays, you know, Aaron's just, you know, he plays fast. So he may give you a signal. He wants to see how it hits your brain based off of the coverage. So, you know, it may be something that we've gone over and we have a different look, and he'll signal it to me to see, you know, what is Tay going to do based off of this look. And then, you know, based off of whatever I do, you know, I'll look back and see his reaction in the walkthrough. If I get a thumbs up, then I know we were on the same page mentally. And if he's kind of looking at me, I go back, talk to him, and we figure out how to, you know, make sure we both are on the same page with that. But it's typically just something he just wants to test out and see before we get out there on the field. But sometimes you'll get the one on the field as well.
I love this, Devontae Adams here. I love this because basically you're saying your Pro Bowl relationship is still growing with him and Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, every day, honestly, because it just happened about 25 minutes ago, same thing. So it's a little sharper in my mind because that exact thing just happened. So, and it's fun for me just because, you know, sometimes I'll get a signal. I'll be like, in my head, I'm thinking, this guy thinks I don't know what I'm doing right now. Watch this. And I get out there and I just pull off a double move, and he's looking at me smiling with a thumbs up. And I'm like, okay, well, I feel like we just took another step closer to not perfection, but just continue to strive for that.
Devontae Adams here on the Rich Eisen Show. You've been on some teams with some championship caliber. One was obviously last year. What feeling do you get right now entering week 8 against Minnesota, Devontae?
I get a lot of the same feelings, man. Honestly, Rich, it's a lot of the same players. the same mindset, but just with a little bit more hunger than last year. I think just we got a little bit of a sour taste in our mouth based off of how we ended the season. We obviously did a lot of good things, finished the regular season 13-3, which is an amazing feat when you have a brand new head coach and you don't, you know, everybody's buying in, trying to, you know, all get on the same page together. And then we finished up the season strong like that. You know, and then we were one step away from getting there. So I think everybody's mentality is kind of, you know, on the same wavelength that we left off on, but just a little bit more hungry than what we were last year.
And again, is Rodgers any different? He said he worked on himself this offseason when he spoke to me a few weeks
ago. Well, I mean, I just see an elevated version of himself. It's just, you know, everything just from positivity, just his morale. I mean, he's throwing the ball extremely well. He's leading the team. I missed two games, and he went out there and balled out without me. So I think it's pretty self-explanatory when you look at the numbers and how he's playing. He's playing an MVP-caliber season. Never want to get too far ahead of ourselves, obviously, but the way that man's balling right now, I just suggest people just stay out of his way.
Okay, and before I let you go, I don't mean any disrespect to your quarterback or you when I ask this question. How about that for to set up the question? But let's just say Aaron throws a pick six right on the goal line. How many yards would you have to give Buda Baker as a head start before you run him down, Devontae?
I don't know if I'm getting him the way DK did. I'm not even going to sit here and lie to you. I don't know if I'm getting him the way he looked like Julio, like, I don't want to say on steroids because I don't want to get that man a random drug test.
Correct.
But He looked like a gazelle chasing down, and usually gazelles aren't the ones chasing stuff, but right. He looked like a gazelle chasing a lion.
So I don't
know if that's ever happened before, but that was it.
No, I know you're very confident in your abilities, as you corrected me earlier in this conversation that your draft class is the greatest, the wide receiver class. I picked up on that. But DK Metcalf, you're saying that was particularly something that maybe you might not even be able to run down. Is what you're saying.
That is special there. I would say him, Tyreek Hill, and maybe I don't know. That's the only two people I could say right now. Anybody else got to prove it at this point. But maybe like a Marquise Goodwin speed, something like that. One of those guys can go ahead and get that. I'm gonna chase his butt down, but
yes.
I don't know if I'm gonna hawk him with a 20-yard head start on me.
Well, not just that. You got to be able to make the tackle at the end too.
You got to tackle him
right.
And. You know, he wasn't even close to scoring. That's the thing. That's what really got me. I think Buda looked back at him, and he may have had a little cut across the field, or a little swerving or something. Had he known, but I don't really blame him because there's not supposed to be anybody that can run that fast and get down there that quickly.
Well,
so,
okay.
At the end of the day, we'll just say good play to Buda.
Yes, you just got to tip your cap. So who's the fastest on your team? Who might be able to pull that off? Would you be, or is there somebody else? Would you?
I wouldn't say I'm the fastest. I'd say it's probably. It probably come down to like a Marquez or a, you know, Jair is pretty fast too.
What about Aaron
Kyle
Jones?
Irvin.
What about Aaron Jones?
Aaron Jones is fast, but I don't even think I can say Aaron Jones faster than me, man. I mean, he's gonna have to race me and prove that. But I don't know. He's broke some, but
wow.
You know, I don't know if he got me just yet. We'll see.
Devontae, I love our chats. I really appreciate you giving time. Let's chat down the road. I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Absolutely, Rich. Appreciate it.
Right back at you. That's one of the best in the business, Devontae Adams. Even tipping his cap to DK Metcalf.
All right,
by
so
the way,
fire emoji, breaking news. Aaron Jones not as fast as Devontae Adams.
You could do that, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
If you really just want to stir it
I
up.
I just want to see at Showtime.
And at Aaron Rodgers,
okay,
too.
We'll throw Rodgers on there.
To just really let him know that we're hot taken.
Got it.
And by the way, the DK Metcalf running down of Buda Baker was all over Twitter last night.
Well, yeah.
Look, Dontrell Willis was one of the many to use it to say, what was that removal of Blake Snell? Blake Snell absolutely dealing was Buda Baker, and Kevin Cash was the one who ran him down. Kevin Cash was the DK Metcalf of managers last night. That was all over Twitter.
It was.
Dontrell Willis. I mean, everybody. Don, you have that other full screen. Look at this. Mahomes was like, I know that's how they play, but man. Alex Rodriguez called it the worst decision I've seen in all of the World Series I've watched. Noah Syndergaard. So who gets to pull the manager? And Chipper Jones, dude has a 9K two-hit shutout with 75 pitches, and you yank him? Fire me. I'm riding my horse. It's now 2-1 Dodgers. I think that's what made it worse, is that as soon as it happened,
everyone knew what was going to happen. Right? Yeah.
It's like you knew it was going to be immediately turned.
Immediately.
Blake Snell knew. Look at the photograph we have up there. He's kind of looking like, are you kidding me? And then we all saw the F-bomb that he...
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I was in the car listening. I was driving home from somewhere, and they were talking on the radio how it was only 1-0, and they're like, man, Rays really regret not getting more runs early in the game when they had a lot of scoring
chances. Sure. No doubt. You know, you could sit here and say the lineup wasn't up to snuff, even though a Rosarena is unbelievable. And that you could have used another Rosarena. I get it. And it's a long game, and if you have more runs, then we're not talking about this and that. But again, gut feel. I will take my manager going gut feel and it not working out more than, well, the analytics say this, and I don't care that he's got 73 pitches. Could you imagine if Snell took that game into the eighth inning? We'd still be talking about Game 7, but now we'd be talking about if Game 7's happening at all.
Right.
Because of all the other madness. Let's take a break. When we come back, our friend Kyle Brandt from Good Morning Football, and his podcast guest is Adam Devine this week, by the way.
Oh.
So we'll have a lot of fun chat with Kyle. Look at that. Is that straight from his soap opera days? Look at that photograph of Kyle Brandt. Jeez. Now, there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. The latest report is that, according to The Athletic, Will Fuller might be on the market. The Packers might be interested in him. How about that?
Wow.
And how about that'd be interesting?
It's not good for my Deshaun Watson fantasy quarterback.
And boy, that would be a nice ad, wouldn't it? To Green Bay.
You think?
Yeah. So we'll see if that happens. And also, Matt LaFleur speaking today, talking about Aaron Jones's injury. We'll be smart with him, but hoping to get him back sooner than later. Maybe he's not back this week. Keep an eye on all of that as we're a Rich Eisen Show radio audience has returned. Josh Allen, he's selling a cereal.
He is.
Yes.
What's with Buffalo players and their own cereal?
We've got go over there and grab it right there. Chris Brockman's grabbing. This has been part of our set for a long time. It's been autographed by Terrell Owens himself, right?
A long time.
Terrell Owens O's, right? And there were Flutie Flakes, as we know.
Flutie Flakes.
Gronk Flakes.
And now it's
Flutie
Terrell
Flakes.
Owens O's.
Yeah, look at these things.
And now it's Josh's Jacks. J-A-Q-S. I don't know what the Q is for.
That's weird.
So there you go.
All right.
I have no idea if it's oat based or it sounds like with Jax, it's certainly. Oh, look at it right now. Oh, those are like Froot Loops. Oh, that's a sugar cereal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, baby.
Which means you
got
to drink the milk.
Gotcha.
Oh, I mean, just as soon as the bowl, like, woof. Oh,
before it's, yep.
And the very rare occasion that we serve our children sugar cereal, we have instructed them. You must drink the milk like it's, you know, straight. Like, oh, God.
Come on.
We were chatting that this morning, like what cereals we had.
Okay.
Like Frosted Flakes, Cheerios, Cocoa Puffs.
But the goat of post-cereal milk.
Yes.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
See, I'm not
That's
a cinnamon
goat.
Guy. Yeah, no,
wow.
No, no.
By the way, this is he's like, knowing our next guest and knowing him well, I imagine he's champing at the bit to join this conversation from Good Morning Football and 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt. Kyle Brandt on the show. Kyle, do you have any anything to add to this situation here?
Well, I'm just so excited to hear about Josh's Jacks and Flutie Flakes. The thing is, I'm still trying to get through my box of Lossman Loops. I bought those when they drafted JP, and it's part of this complete breakfast. So I still got that box. Maybe I can trade them in for
good
some
use of complete
Jack.
Breakfast, by the way. When we were kids and seeing all those sugar cereal commercials, and they would call it a complete breakfast, even I, as a young man who had desired as many sugar cereals as possible, I saw through that. That's there's nothing complete about
Well, the
these.
Supporting cast, they put it with 12 slices of whole wheat bread, a horn of plenty of fruit, a 2-gallon glass of orange juice, a glass of milk, some eggs, some corned beef hash, and then the Cocoa Krispies. They say part of this complete breakfast. Also enlarged to show texture.
That's right. And we were wondering about childhood obesity and where that came from. We were wondering how the hell that happened. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Rich, speaking of obesity, it's Halloween this weekend.
Yes.
How do you guys... What is the philosophy there on the Rich Eisen show? If I were to tune in on Friday, will I see Brockman as the Tin Man and Del Tufo as the Scarecrow? Is there a costume theme? What's going on?
We've done this in the past.
We have dressed up in the past.
I think
a few years ago was our best. You went Rich as a Fatwa Larry David.
That's right. I went Fatwa Larry David.
Del Tufo was the thumbs down. Was he
Mets
Yankee?
Guy? No, Mets guy.
Mets fan. And I was the Night King from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I don't think. So we retired on the spot there as Fatwa Larry David. By the way, I didn't just appear as Fatwa Larry David here on this show. I actually trick-or-treated with my children as Fatwa Larry David. It was very difficult to explain to my children why I was dressed the way I was dressed. It was very difficult.
And I think you have the Latte Larrys now a year later right next to you, don't you?
Now I've got that going on. That's right. It's all about the beans,
Spike
Kyle. It's all about the beans. What about you? Is Good Morning? Well, by the way, congratulations on Good Morning Football being back in studio all together. So does that mean you're all going to be dressing up together Friday? Do we see that?
We are. Yeah, we get into it. You it doesn't seem on brand with our show. We're usually really reserved. But, yeah, we are going to dress up. Last year was a layup because it was NFL 100.
Yes.
So we all did historic NFL figures.
Okay.
And I was Brian Bosworth. I believe Nate was 1989 Deion Sanders. So this year we're doing tell me what you think, Rich.
Okay.
Another NFL grab bag. I am going to really go for it. And when I say go for it, I mean being in character for all 3 hours.
Yes.
I have my hands on a doppelganger garment to the one that Bill Belichick wore a few weeks ago and looked like a hostage or a vagrant. With the holes in it and the bleached sweatshirt. I'm going to wear that on NFL Network on Friday for 3 hours. And I'm also going to do Belichick for 3 hours unless they kick me off.
You're not going to break. You're not breaking character. You're literally going to do your Belichick for 3 straight hours.
And that includes reading highlights from the Thursday Nighter in full Belichick. So I'm working on it. I'm going to stop drinking water now just so I can have the voice ready for Friday.
Let me see. I'm just looking now. I don't know this off the top of my head, but we know the Thursday night game is Atlanta.
Falcons.
Right.
And
Panthers.
I should know this.
And it's Panthers.
Somebody else in the NFC.
Yeah, it's Falcons and Panthers.
Falcons and Panthers.
Boy. Neither are sadly playing Cincinnati next. So you can't even use that line about neither of them play Cincinnati next. What a bummer.
Yeah. It's just going to be a lot of Bon Jovi, lacrosse, and Lawrence Taylor references. Those will be my building blocks.
Wait, are you guys going to bring back Wall Street Bros on Friday, too? Are you going to do that as Belichick?
All right. The Wall Street Bros you're referring to, Jared and Trent, the two idiots who are down on the street.
It's the best segment of all time.
I don't think they'll be back Friday, but they are forthcoming. As soon as we get clearance to be down on the street again, they will double down on their regiment of creatine and Adderall or whatever it is, and they'll give us the segment.
Okay, fantastic.
Are you ready for this transition, Chris?
Here we go.
Kyle Brandt on the Rich Eisen Show. Well, if I was an NFL figure, the one that I could easily go as is Matt Nagy, because I could just put on the visor with my dome, and that's as close as I can possibly get. And plus, that's as close to being you I could possibly be, because that's what it's all about is be you. I came on the show the other day, and I'm like wondering, my analogy is it's like it's a crapshoot right now. I have no earthly idea what we're going to get from the Bears. We know we're going to get the defense, but the offense, we could hit the point. We could, or we're going to roll craps in the come out, but the bottom line is the house is probably going to win more often than not, as they did for the Rams. I'm wondering what you think of the Bears as we're currently seeing 5-2. What in the world are we thinking of Chicago right now?
It's a great question, and it's a very strange time. If nothing about this team other than their record says 5-2. Watch their press conferences from the players, the coaches, the conversation. You would think they were 2-5 at best. because they're lost. That game against the Rams, everything takes so much effort. I'm talking, it's first and 10, we want to gain 3 yards. It's a landing on the moon on this offense right now. And now, predictably, right on schedule, Rich, the people are crowing about, you know, Trubisky wasn't that bad. Maybe we go back with them. It's hell. I have a friend who works for the Eagles organization, whose name I will not mention, but he said, look, he said, Nick Foles is the nicest guy in the world. I owe everything to him. Nick Foles is no savior, no franchise savior. And I said, oh, hold on a second. That's his whole deal. He comes into burning buildings and he runs out with a baby. The only solution I have right now, Rich, if Nick Foles is only good when there's drama and there's a deficit, can we do something where we play Trubisky for three quarters and then just bring in Nick Foles for the fourth quarter, hit the Enter Sandman, he can come out of the bullpen and just save us? Because that seems to be the only thing that works for this team.
Well, and it did, obviously, in the day in Atlanta. And then since that day, he's gone 2-2 as the starter. It is like pulling teeth. It is. But what's the answer? There isn't one, right?
It's every Bears team of my lifetime. And it's time to – it's every – and you can talk to some guy, Rich, who's one of these sort of Bob Swirsky super fans from Cicero or Berwyn on the south side, and they're still clinging to that, you know, this is Bear football. This is Bear weather, defense and run the ball. They don't run the ball at all. Like, actually, their defense wasn't even good against the Rams. And that's something that Bears fans are mired in, this romantic relationship we have with Bear football and Bear weather. I remember when during the Jay Cutler era – when they're like, this is Bear weather, we want it to be rainy and cold. I'm like, we have a timing-based Mike Martz passing offense here. What are you talking about? This is not Bear football at all, and neither is what we're seeing right now. The thing about Nagy is Nagy loves trick plays. He loves all that. He's got a whole catalog of them, and he calls them, you know, Elvis, and he calls them Marilyn Monroe. He loves that stuff. You can't run that stuff if you don't have the regular plays. You can't go to the novelty when you don't have the meat and potatoes, and they don't. And this, I mean, right now they look like they could lose to the Saints by 20 and the Packers by 40, and yet they're 5-2. It's one of the strangest team identities I've seen after 7 weeks ever.
Kyle Brandt, Good Morning Football. 10 questions with Kyle Brandt here on the Rich Eisen Show. The Ravens-Steelers rivalry returns with a vengeance. This is going to be great. I mean, it's just a regular old 1 o'clock Eastern game, too. It's not Sunday night. It's not Monday night. It's not Sunday late afternoon. It's just one of the first 8 games being played. I can't wait for it. Can't wait for it.
It's like I can hear John Facenda, Rich. I love this rivalry. There are a million in sports. There's several in the NFL. There's nothing that gets my blood flowing like Packers, or rather Steelers-Ravens. Steelers-Ravens. It's this and these two teams so good. The defense is so strong. We asked this morning, we were talking about, all right, which defense has the bigger challenge this weekend? And I said, look, the Steelers' offense is very good. It might even be great. But I don't think it's terrifying. I still believe that the Ravens' offense is terrifying for the opposing coordinator, which is why I think the Steelers' defense is going to have its toughest task. Devin Bush was out last week. Yeah. We know he's out for the season. It's one thing to be out against Derrick Henry and have Robert Spillane, this great undrafted guy, meet him in the hole on the goal line. That's not Lamar. Lamar is the sideline to sideline. He will put you in a highlight like before you even know what happened. I'm worried about that loss for them this week. That's why I think Baltimore takes this thing.
And then, you know, your derelict of duty in a position like we're in, you and your pod, or Good Morning Football, me on this show and Game Day Morning, if we don't have at least one segment talking about Tua, his popularity is through the roof, and this is going to be great. First up is Aaron Donald and that Rams defense. That's going to be a fun, fun Week 8 contest. I wonder what expectation level you have of Tua, Kyle.
This is a big week, Rich, in the industry of freezing cold takes and getting remembered that way for being wrong. A lot of people are going to be in. A lot of people are going to be iffy. I want it on the record on the Rich Eisen Show that I am 10 out of 10 full speed ahead, completely on the Tua bandwagon before it starts. I think he will have an unbelievable debut. I was looking through some of the great debuts we've seen. Cam Newton, prolific in his first game. Some of the young guys we're seeing now, Herbert looked really good. RG3 was a sensation, his first game ever against New Orleans. I think Tua is going to be that good. And I don't care that he's playing Aaron Donald. I still believe, I'll say this all season, if Tua would not have gotten hurt last year, I think he'd be on the Cincinnati Bengals right now. I think they would have taken him over Joe Burrow. And we've been enchanted with all these other guys. And they do look great, and Herbert and Burrow. Tua was the talent in this great nation of ours for the last 3 years, and I think he's going to show it. It would have been nice if they started him last week against the Jets, albeit a little easier, but I still think he has it. I'm in, fully in. Freezing cold, take me all you want.
I'm kind of plus one, although it does concern me about the Rams. It does concern me about the Rams. That does. But in terms of just epic, you know, it's this week, and then it's Kyler Murray, and then you've also got Burrow. He does play Burrow. He does go against Herbert. He does go against Patrick Mahomes. He does go against Cam Newton. These are all matchups that we've got for the Dolphins that ordinarily we would not have been paying attention to, with the ultimate of respect to Fitzmagic and all the craziness that usually ensues right there. And I can't wait to see it this week. And in the few minutes I have left with you, Adam Devine is your guest this week. He's hilarious, man. That guy is funny.
Oh, yeah. Adam Devine, if for those who don't know, Righteous Gemstones, Pitch Perfect, a complete lightning strike of an individual as a guest. As you know, Rich, on 10 questions, all my interview questions are sort of predicated off of a trivia question. So he came in and I said, Adam, I know you're a big Cornhuskers fan, and I will ask you and the fellas, Rich, if you could answer the question that he got wrong about Nebraska football.
Okay.
I think it was a fairly easy one. Which Nebraska quarterback won the Heisman Trophy in 2001?
Eric Crouch.
Eric Crouch is right, of course, Rich. He said Scott Frost and then threw his phone across the room. Eric Crouch, whom he knows, who he's into, and we got into this great conversation, Rich, about I think Eric Crouch is one of those guys who I would love to see him come out of football now and to bring Pat White with him and to see what he could do if he could be a runner-on quarterback or a Taysom Hill or one of those guys. It's truly like one of those lost careers in Eric Crouch.
I would agree with you.
How about Charlie Ward right now?
Yeah, Charlie Ward, willingly to the Knicks?
Yeah. Oh, my God. By the way, Charlie Ward turned 50 last week, I think.
No way.
Is that true?
Wow. Yeah, man. Yeah. I think I saw that. I think that went clanking around our text chain for good game day morning. Ask the poll question of Kyle Brandt before we send him on to Wednesday.
All right, real quick, Kyle. It's Joaquin Phoenix's birthday today. What's the best Joaquin performance? Joker, Gladiator, Her, Walk the Line.
Well, I really like him as a young man in the movie Parenthood, in which he went by Leaf Phoenix and had all kinds of stuff he was dealing with in that movie. But of your selections, there's a scene in which Commodus is speaking to the boy, and he talks about busy little bees. It's absolutely terrifying, and you think he might actually harm the kid. And then at the end, when he stabs Maximus and weakens him, I think it is a perfect villain performance.
Wow.
Way up there with a Dr. Hannibal Lecter. I'm going to take him in Maximus. In Gladiator, opposite Maximus.
What do you have right now? Because, again, Walk the Line, as we know, was remarkable as Johnny Cash.
He did all the singing.
Right. And also, Joker, he just won the Oscar for. And Her is truly one of the most remarkable performances because he acted with a voice and a phone.
Yeah.
Like that's who he was playing against. You know, I mean, come on. So where do
I believe he has a love scene with an amount of sand on the beach. I mean, that ain't easy.
No.
They don't cover that in scene study class in Hollywood.
No, they don't. So what do you got?
A little recency bias. Joker leading right now, 40%. He won the Oscar. Gladiator, 27%. And Walk the Line, 28%.
What do you think the dinner conversations with Rooney Mara are like in that household?
Oh, my gosh. It's true. I bet they're talking Giants. Speaking of Giants, Rich.
Yes, sir.
I have a poll question for you. I was asked this earlier this week. It reminded me of you. What is the more spectacular highlight?
Yes.
Is it the Daniel Jones run and fall?
Yes.
Or is it the butt fumble?
Oh, it's the butt fumble. Because, and again, this is going to be the walk-off because we have a hard out to use.
A perfect
word to use right now in about 30 seconds. Daniel Jones fell ass over tea kettle. Somebody ran into somebody else's ass. And the word taint can be used as well. I mean, you put it all together. And
Grundle, is that one?
Yep. All together, it's the butt fumble. Let's be honest. Or as Sean Mitchell of our Rich Eisen Show staff called it, the stumble-rooski. is what he used. There you go.
Very good.
Thanks for calling, Kyle. Appreciate it.
Of course, Rich. Thanks, man.
You got it. Kyle Brandt. 10 questions with Kyle Brandt, Spotify and Ringer. And then tune in to Friday as he does 3 hours of Belichick without breaking character. Josh Allen, Carl Weathers, and you coming up. Could you imagine trying to do Belichick for 3 straight hours? That can't...
No.
I don't think Bill could even... Because as you know...
Bill can't do Bill for 3 hours.
Even... I've seen it. Bill is doing a version of Bill Belichick for these conversations and Zooms.
Sure.
And then when he's done, he's being Coach Bill. And then he's being Person Bill. Right. And he's being Person Colleague Bill. And he's being Bill. But when he shows up on a Zoom and a phone call, he chooses which Bill to be.
Ask him the right question, you'll get a
different
Bill.
Even think Bill Belichick could be Zoom call press conference Bill Belichick for 3 straight hours.
That's pretty good. The first year I moved here, it was 2009 for Halloween. I went as Bill Belichick for Halloween. But I wasn't in, I didn't like.
No, you just showed up in a hoodie.
I was just wearing the cutoff hoodie and the headset.
And as you know, I did Harbaugh. I did the khakis and I did the Michigan shirt. I did that too.
It's fun.
With the Sharpie around my neck and the glasses. I did that.
It's great.
Okay. That's a winning head coach. 1-0. If I go as Harbaugh this weekend, I don't even know if I'm dressing up this weekend.
Are we dressing up on Friday?
No.
Mike Del Tufo has shut it down.
Wow.
I could go as a.
Josh Allen joins us with a conversation in a cereal box when we come back. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.